time for your weekly dose of nostalgia with the 80s and 90s Uncensored. I am Milo Dennison.
And I'm Jamie Fenderson. And today we're going to talk about things that people had 25 years ago that they don't have today. Can you believe it was 1999 was 25 years ago? It's a quarter century, dude.
That's the crazy thing about this. Our show ends in 1999, and that was 25 years ago. We are that old. And it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
No, I've said this before. The 80s feels like a long time ago. But 99, I still think we're living in kind of a souped up kind of version of 1999. Like a more of a steroids version of it. And it's kind of a little more dystopian. It's faster. It's more advanced. But it's kind of dystopian. But it's still... The 90s doesn't feel like that long ago. 99 damn sure doesn't feel like it's a quarter century ago. That's crazy.
No, it is crazy. So, yeah, so since it's 25 years ago, since 1999, we decided to take a look back and see what are those things that we had in 1999 that nobody has anymore. Only 25 years ago, these things have gone away. Think about that.
Yeah. So what do you got, Milo? What's on your mind about things that people had in 99 that they don't have anymore? You just don't see it anymore.
You just don't see it. The first one on my list is a binder of CDs in your car. So this was like you actually would open it. So what you would do is you'd buy your CDs, and then you would take the CD out of the CD case, and then you would put the CD in a binder. And I had a nice thick one in my vehicle too, like full of CDs. And because you only had the one CD player in your car, so you had to take it out, rotate it, put it in. If you were super cool, maybe you had a multi-disc player like in the trunk. And so you could like have it in the trunk and you'd put in like 5-disc CD player in your trunk and rotate between those. But
you'd be driving with a girl and she's like, "Oh, you got a disc changer in the back." Oh, shit.
Usually with a subwoofer back there too. Like, dum, 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 dum. Listen to my sub, baby. Listen to my sub. I had a car in like the late 90s and it had just a cassette player. And so what I had was I had an adapter. So I had a one of those portable CD players for my CDs, and then I had an adapter that plugged into the cassette player, as it was like a cassette tape thing, so that way I could play my CDs through my cassette player. And of course, if you remember those portable CD players, they'd skipped really easily, and it was always a pain because you'd have to hide it under the seat, and along with your CDs that you would have to hide under the seat. Glad. I actually don't. I'm nostalgic about it, but I truthfully don't miss it.
Yeah. Well, I'll bounce off that a little bit and say CDs in general. So you had CDs, you bought albums on the CDs, and CDs were cool because they're all laser looking and cool. They're not cassette tapes, like you said. Ooh, CDs. And you had stereos that had CD players. You had Discmans, which were pretty useless because they weren't as good as Walkmans, because a Walkman wouldn't skip. A Walkman is small, but a Discman was like you don't know what you can't put in your pocket. It's kind of it's the size of a bulky CD, but a little bigger. It's so dumb. Discmans were dumb and they skipped all the time, and nobody ever made a good Discman.
Couldn't exercise with them, right? Imagine trying to take a jog with your Discman.
They were bad. And like you said, CD binders, but you also had, like, you burned CDs.
Yeah.
And you had CD-ROM. Remember that was so cool? Like, you had games on your CD-ROM. And you even had, like, encyclopedias. Oh, I have an encyclopedia on my CD-ROM.
Yep.
And back then it was cool, right? Because the internet wasn't full of all the knowledge that it has now yet. So the encyclopedia on a CD-ROM made you feel like freaking Star Trek, dude. You were Mr. Spock. You're like, "Oh, I'm slap my Encyclopedia Britannica CD-ROM in there, and I have knowledge." Yeah.
Yep. Oh, you want to know something? Okay, let's start up the computer. Let's insert the CD-ROM, and let's look it up. Okay, there's the answer to that question.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's a good
What else
one.
You got, brother?
All right, here's one. The phone book. So back in the day, you'd come home usually at some point and you would see this massive book sitting on your front doorstep, and it had everybody's phone number in your city. It had a white pages, which was all the people's phone numbers, with addresses, if I remember correctly. You could actually look up a person's address, which now would be considered an invasion of privacy. But back then it was like delivered to your front doorstep.
Well, everybody's talking about back in 99, you had privacy back then. It's like, no, you didn't. You had a free book with everybody's shit in it. Just come to your house.
Yeah.
How was that private? Privacy wouldn't exist like, back then.
Oh, John Smith. Here's his phone number and his address. I'm just going to go over to his house.
Sarah Connor. Oh, where's Sarah Connor live? Yeah, Let me see. I'll just go to the phone book. Like,
yep. It had a business page, which was the yellow pages, and that's where all the business would list. But it also had other stuff. If you remember, it had a maps section in it, so you could actually find maps in it of your local area. I did a little research on the phone book because I actually kind of went down a bit of a rabbit hole. It was kind of cool. The first phone book came out in 1878 in New Haven, and it had 50 subscribers in it. It didn't have phone numbers because people didn't have phone numbers yet. It had just 50 lists of names. In 1883, the business listings was changed to yellow because in Wyoming, a printer ran out of white paper and they used yellow, and it kind of stuck ever since then. 1993, it became available on CD. So you mentioned the CD-ROM. You could actually insert the CD into your computer and look up phone numbers. 1996, the Yellow Pages got a website. 2004, Congress banned wireless phone numbers in the thing. And then in 2009 is when people started to ban the phone book, when people were like, why the hell am I still getting this thing? Stop sending them to my house.
Yeah, and there's a whole forest somewhere that just is obliterated because of these phone books.
Totally.
They're big, dude. They're freaking big.
That's the thing. They were huge.
You could use them to build furniture, dude.
Yeah, or level your furniture out. It used to be like a thing, like strongman contests. You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'd grab it and tear it to like prove how strong they were because it was so massive.
Yeah, like those Christian dudes who were like, "Hey, we're like God super gives me strong power. Christian dudes for God or whatever." They used to like tear the phone book. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm so strong because yeah, they were big, dude. Yeah. So I'll bounce off that a little bit. I tend to bounce off yours now with a couple things. Firstly, long distance calls. Remember that? Long distance calls? Like sometimes you had call collect or 1-800 collect or 1-800 call ATT or MCI, 5 cents a minute, something. It cost money outside of your area code. It cost extra money to talk to people. And then there were no area codes unless you were calling long distance. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Everybody had 7 numbers. So if I was calling a local number, I'd just dial 7. I'd only need the area code if I were going to another area code.
8675309, right? So if you're calling Jenny from the bathroom wall, you only needed those 7 numbers. But nowadays, you'd have to actually add an area code to Jenny's number on the bathroom wall because everything has an area code, whether or not you're in the area or not, right? So 8675309 would be more like 206-8675309. That doesn't flow as well, does it?
No, it just doesn't sound as cool for a song.
And Jenny, you knew if she was an out of town slut because she might have had an area code, but she didn't. You knew if she was from in town. You know what I'm saying?
She was a area local codes. Girl.
She was a local girl that someone's trying to slut shame. But another thing, like, you had European cell phones. Remember, like, Nokia or Ericsson? I don't know if they still make cell phones, but everybody's cell phone is either American, quote unquote, which is not even made here. It's made in China, but, and then maybe a, you know, Samsung, like Korean phones, but European cell phones were pretty common, and I don't think they're common anymore. So if you had a cell phone, it probably was like a European cell phone, and it had an antenna. Like you don't see that anymore either. Remember, so everybody had a little pop-up antenna or some kind of antenna on their phone, their cell phone. because we had cell phones back then, people, okay? In 1999, people had cell phones.
I had a cell phone in 99.
Were big. Yeah, you did. You had a, you worked for AT&T
then? Yeah, yeah, I had an Ericsson, and it had a little antenna sticking up off the top of it. And yeah, the companies were all different because of the technology. So in the US, we were like either CDMA or TDMA were the two different technologies. So none of the phones were compatible like now, where you basically just can swap your SIM card out because it's all the same.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's still 1999, just left like a more standardized component version of it, right?
You don't have to buy a new phone just because you switch phone companies. Although they'll try to get you to, because that way they can get you into a nice long contract.
Yeah, but you know it's crap now. Back then, it wasn't crap. It was real. It was true. like if you don't buy this phone, like, you can't switch companies.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. You have to have our phone or it won't work. Yeah.
And that's truth, right?
All right. So here's one. How about jumping back to the CD thing? You remember Columbia House and BMG? So these were mail order compact discs. So how it worked is, like, BMG would send you this little envelope, and it would have a piece of paper, and then it would have a bunch of like little stamps that you would actually lick. And each of the stamps had CDs on it. So it'd be like your Cure, Disintegration, your Def Leppard, whatever. And then you'd be like, okay, and the deal was, if you buy one, so you just had to pay for one CD, you'd get 12 free. You're like, well, that's a sweet deal. So you lick your little stickers, you put your 12 on there, you give them, you write your check, you pay for your one, you get them all in the mail. But then what they do is they sign you up, and they every month they start mailing you a CD. And you'd have to pay for it if you didn't return it to them, which was the catch. They'd be like, okay, here's your CD. And it'd be like something stupid that you didn't care about and didn't want. You'd be like, what? Paula Abdul? I don't want a Paula Abdul. I'm too manly for that, right?
Dude, why you got a wreck on Paula Abdul? I had a Paula Abdul CD.
See?
Straight up, now tell me. Come on, dude. Don't be knocking Paula Abdul. Knock Bette Midler or something. Jeez, man. What are you doing?
All right. Be Bette Midler. Or just some CD you'd never heard of some band that they probably got in a deal. And if you didn't mail it back, you would have to pay for it. And that's kind of how they got you, is that you'd just get into this paying. And Columbia House kind of came out with the same thing. But they would do, like, get 8 CDs for a penny. And you're like, oh, that's sweet too. And so then you would sign them up and mail them back. And you'd end up with tons of CDs, some of them you wanted and some you didn't. But it would be, like, borderline impossible to get them to stop sending you CDs. That's how I got a lot of my CDs back in the day. Columbia House and BMG.
Yeah. So I'm going with this next. So, you know, not even last February was the 25th anniversary of the release of one of my favorite movies of all time, Office Space. And I was thinking, this isn't everybody, but people who worked in offices back then had cubicles. I remember I was in the Navy and we watched Office Space, and I worked in an office in the Navy because I was kind of an knowledge worker or whatever, but I was still on a warship, and quarters were tight, right? So we used to look at the cubicles in Office Space and go, damn, that's actually pretty nice. But now, like, you don't see those anymore. Everything's like open space and these little tables, open spaces, because companies just want to, they say it's collaborative and we want to have collaboration. What you're really trying to do is save money, and you want to make it easier to go around and see if people are putting cover sheets on their TPS reports. You're not fooling anybody. So I remember that scene where it, like, nowadays, like there are some office spaces now, and I've worked in some that are like, I'm like, wow, this isn't much better than my office space in a warship. Like, this is bad. But Peter Gibbons' cubicle was wicked. If you think about it, it's a nice, pretty nice cubicle. You got some little walls. You have a little bit of privacy. You got a little bit of room. So that scene where he kind of like drills the wall off and pushes it down because he wants to have a view of the window. I'm like, dude, nowadays I'm like, dude, what are you doing? That's sweet. You have a little wall. That's awesome.
You have some
people
privacy,
have that anymore,
man.
Dude, that
enjoy
cubicle is
that.
Wicked. Initech's not as bad as it. I mean, if it wasn't for their crappy managers and bad attitude, they actually care about their people because they give them decent cubicles. And that was the standard back then, is you had a cubicle. People would be like, you know, maybe they did have some open spaces, but the standard was cubicles, and you don't see that anymore. And now that COVID has happened, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, I kind of like remote work. They're like, no, you need to come back because we need to collaborate. No, actually, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at. Remote work sounds pretty good now because your crappy, like, open space office, whatever, is crap. So office cubicles, office space, you know, Peter Gibbons didn't have it as bad as he thought he did, you know, because a quarter century into his future, he'd be actually, like, putting that wall back up.
Yeah, I've worked in plenty of cubicles, and I've had the low ones. I'm sure you've had these too, like where you still had the wall, but it was lowered. So as you're sitting there at the desk, you could kind of see over the side of the cubicle to the person on the other side. And it's kind of like,
yeah, because I want to look at everybody while I'm trying to concentrate.
Totally. But yeah, open floor plans are the worst because like they're so distracting. People around you talking constantly, and they're really hard to focus. I'm with you. I'd rather have a proper cubicle back.
Bring it back. Bring back. Hashtag bring back the cubicle.
Word. My next one is maps in the glove box of your vehicle. So this would be like the Rand McNally, if you had one of those, or the Thomas Guide. And I did. I had my Rand McNally in my Toyota Tacoma, and it would sit in the back seat in the little holder behind the passenger seat, and I could just pull it out whenever I needed it. So I'd be out, and, you know, because you didn't have Google Maps, and you needed to know where you are, you'd flip through, you'd look at the section, you'd be like, okay, D9 on here, and then you'd have the little map, and you like turn the page to the next, is because it would go over. Loved that thing. It was very detailed, and so you could get just like your state one. In my case, I had the Washington state one, but you could get national ones if you're going on road trips. Even the folder ones that you would get at a gas station. So you pull into a gas station when you're traveling, and you're like, I don't know where I am. And they'd have these folded up maps in a little rack near the counter. And you just pull out your local map and buy a few bucks. And they had a weird way of folding it. You had to fold it properly, because if you didn't fold it properly, it would get all messed up mm-hmm. and tear easily.
It's all jacked up. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Got to fold it right.
Yeah, I wonder what young people, like, if you gave them a big-ass paper map, like, how they could... And you're like, you don't have any GPS.
No, yeah.
You don't have Google Maps. Like, this is a map, and you have to read it, and then you have to fold it as you continue on your journey. They'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
they wouldn't survive, dude. They'd die.
They'd get lost.
They'd die somewhere in the desert.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, being as, like, kind of older... Like, we're, at, like, compared to young people, we're, like, cartographer experts. Like, we're Magellan, dude. They're like, wow, you could read a paper map. Fold it right.
Yep.
It's Lewis and Clark in the house. What's going on?
What?
So, speaking of young people, here's one thing that everybody had. Everybody. Every single person in the entire world had. In 1999, and that was a birthday that started with 19 for a birth year.
Wow, that's a good one. I never thought of that. True. There are people whose birthdays start with 2000 and something now, but in the 90s, it was...
Yeah, not only that, like...
So now you've got 19
and 2000.
My son, his
birthday's in 2000. Well, not only that, but I meet kind of younger adults in the tavern now, and they're
24
and they're carded and they're like born in 20 something, like, wow. And I don't even get carded, like, when I get brewskis at the store or whatever, like, they're like, yeah, whatever, you probably, because I'm getting Coors Banquet, and they're like, yeah, you must be old. But probably because I am old, right? But people, everybody had a birthday in that started with a 19, unless you were like a super old person from the 19th century, which maybe there was a handful of them.
1899.
There were a few. So when I said that everybody had 19, I misspoke, because there were a handful of people who still had 18 something in 1999, which you probably don't have today.
Definitely not.
But yeah, it's so interesting. Like, you ever go and like maybe you're filling out a form online and you got to scroll through the birth year and you just kind of scroll in a little too much. You're like, oh, why do you got to remind me about how old I am? Thanks a lot.
It's true too. You're like,
that's not a good user experience.
Scrolling. You're like, well, seriously, where is? I'm back there. Get to the 70s.
Why can't I just input this? This is bad user experience, because it's reminding me that I'm getting old.
Nice one. How about this one? A stereo system in the living room. So you remember, you'd go over to somebody's house and they had this big-ass stereo receiver. Sitting on top of it would be like a CD player, possibly a cassette player, a dual cassette player, maybe a record player on top of that, an amp. And it would be this like tall-ass, like 4-foot-tall cabinet of like different components for their stereo system. And then sitting beside it would be like 2-foot-tall speakers. You know, so this stereo system took up half their living room. It sounded badass. And they'd crank it up and you'd be like, sweet, yeah, let's rock out. Throwing something in, your AC/DC. You get the surround sound speakers even better. So you got the two giant ones next to the system, and then you got a couple smaller ones on the backside of the room that would have like cables, because you'd have to run the wire, the speaker wire, along the wall, all the way around the room, all the way back to the other side. And yeah, stereo systems.
You know, I don't think modern stereo systems, like the little speakers they have with the phone, they sound amazing for their size, but I don't think they sound any better. They're just smaller.
Yeah, I'm sure a proper audiophile would recognize the difference, but I'm with you. We've got just a little, one of those little portable Bluetooth ones, and it's like, it works for me.
Yeah, but it was also kind of a social thing. Like, if you brought people to your place and you had all these stereo components with big speakers, all this shit, it's you're kind of like, yeah, I'm cool, right? Yeah, I really like my music. Whereas now, as everybody has kind of a little bar speaker that connects to their phone, and that's it. You don't know if they really dig music or not, because everybody's kind of got the same thing. They don't have stacks and stacks and stacks of components.
Yeah, totally. And you would also judge them on their CD collection or record collection, because so you'd have like also mm-hmm. Next to that you'd have your rack that had all your CDs on it properly organized, and you'd go through it and you'd be like, oh, this, okay, good, yeah, cool. You might pull something out, put it in, that kind of stuff. So there was that too.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go over to Jamie's house and you'd be like, what, Celine Dion? Oh man.
You know, you're not wrong though. That's the sad thing. So I'm not gonna comment on that. So here's this. We'll end mine with this. People in 1999 had, rightfully so, the notion that there were 9 planets. Sometime in the 2000s, Pluto was downgraded, became a planetoid. And I think Neil deGrasse Tyson had a lot to do with that. I love the guy, but I'm kind of pissed about it. And he even acknowledges the controversy. But he's kind of right, though. I mean, there are planetoids not much smaller, if not even the same size as Pluto. So calling it a planet is kind of erroneous. But back then, in 1999, we still had 9 planets, and Pluto was one of them. It was one of the planets you thought about in your little sci-fi mind that you might explore someday. And now it's just a planetoid. It's just kind of a rock with a bunch of other rocks out there on the outskirts of our solar system. So that's kind of sad, even though it's true. Mm. Metallica said it best. Sad but true. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Remember that song? Sad but true. It is sad but true, right? It's really not a planet. But back then it was. Back then everybody had the notion that it was. So here's to you, Pluto.
on the plus side for kids nowadays, that's one less planet to have to memorize. Or when you had to do that planet thing, you know, where you'd either have to make little ones and they rotate over each other or draw them on a drawing of some form. It's one less to draw. It's one less to do.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But kids nowadays, man, they have to know what planetoids are. So it's
be like, here's the planets and planetoids.
Yeah.
For my last one, I'm going to go video stores. We've talked about video stores plenty on this show in the past, so I probably don't need to go too much into it. But there is that aspect of not just sitting down and scrolling through your streaming service and deciding what you want to watch or downloading it or whatever. Okay, you would be like, okay, hey, let's rent a movie tonight. Okay, you'd hop in the car, you drive down to your video store, you're looking through the section. You've commented on the video store smell, if I remember correctly. And you just enjoy the video store experience. You pick your movie, you rent maybe one or two. I'd usually do like, you know, some in the cheap section. You have like the 99 cent section, which were the older ones, and then the new section. Mm-hmm. You'd have the mom and pop stores with the porn section in the back that was usually through like two wooden doors or those beads that hang down. And you'd always be like kind of peeking to see who went in and went out.
It's Timmy's dad. He's coming out of the bead part again.
You're like, hey, I know that person. I know what you're doing back there.
I know. Yeah, Timmy, I saw your dad. You're all wholesome and like family and shit. I saw your dad coming out of the beads. Yeah. Well, you also had cards. Remember, like a Blockbuster card? And that was right there with your license. You had your credit card and you had your Blockbuster card. Like, it's just as important, right? It's in your wallet.
Yep. Yeah, you carried it around.
One thing I don't miss, though, is late fees.
Yeah,
I don't miss late fees, though.
True.
And I think that's why video stores died too.
Yeah. Yeah, you return it late, you had to pay a late fee. If you didn't rewind it, you had to pay a late fee or a rewind fee sometimes, didn't you, depending on the store?
Yeah, be kind, rewind.
That's right.
Yep.
That's where that comes from, people.
Yeah, and they still had VHS in 1999. VHS was still around, so that's kind of an 80s thing, but not really, because it was still around in 99.
True.
That Titanic 2-box set was still up there, baby.
You could get the dual systems, the VHS and DVD. Like, you'd have DVD on one side and VHS on the other side.
DVD was pretty new, though. DVD was a new thing. It was an emerging technology. Now it's obsolete.
Now that is out of date.
Now you see it. Now you see the Safeway DVD racks, like
discounted and stuff. Nobody wants those. All right. Well, let's wrap it up here, folks. If you have anything that you remember from 25 years ago, that's right, 1999 was 25 years ago. If you have anything that you remember from then that we don't have now, shoot us a message through our website, the80s90s.com. Reach out to us on the Podbean app. Leave us a comment. And with that, we are out of here to dig through that CD box in the attic, plug in our 5-disc CD player, and listen to some classic rock and roll. Because again, 25 years ago, 1999, music is considered classic rock.